Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
The June heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is officially on the rise. Don't wait for the AC to start working overtime to realize the windows are failing. Call Window Nation now. During the June sale, buy four windows and get four free. That's right. Upgrade the entire house and get half of those windows absolutely free. Plus, get started with zero down and no payments or interest for 2 full years. The experts at Window Nation provide a weather-tight seal in just one day or less. Beat the heat and save big on those utility bills. Schedule your fast, free consultation today at windownation.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, June 12th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Friday. Happy start to the World Cup. World Cup started yesterday. The USA takes the field tonight. We got some good games this weekend. I believe the first one in Philly is on Sunday. It's like March Madness, just with a better sport. So I'm very excited for these next few days, really the next month. I still remember where I was for the World Cup final between Argentina and France. I was in the Chicago Bears press box because the Eagles were playing, I think, a preseason game that day. It must have been a preseason game. Yeah, I don't think it doesn't go until September. So, I'm super excited. If you're a soccer guy, hop in the Go Birds Insider chat. Let's talk. I mean, what teams do you like? I want to talk. You know, I want someone to talk to about these games. So very, very excited for it to start. If you're not a soccer guy, check out the game tonight. I think, you know, you can get into it. It's a fun sport to watch, and it's always more fun to be included in what everyone's talking about than not. So excited for the weekend. If you're listening to this early, by the way, me and James are hosting the WIP Morning Show along with Ashlyn Sullivan on Friday morning. So very excited for that. Always fun to get to take Go Birds into a daytime spot. And also Ashlyn, who's kind of a third member of the pod in some ways, does an amazing job. And she was at practice both days this week. So if there's any questions you have, you want to call in, I mean, I'm sure we'll be talking Eagles, obviously. Look forward to talking to you. So if it's prior to 10 a.m., call in. We need some real ones, all of our auto downloaders, all of our insiders, but also we'll have the radio show in the feed for you later today if you miss it. So you can check it out later today. All right. I wanted to use today's pod, because not really a ton happened on Thursday, to kind of empty out the notebook, as the big J's would say, but for me, this would be playing clips I didn't get a chance to play from the final day of mandatory minicamp. Because we did hear on that day from Nick, we heard from Jalen, we heard from Cam Jurgens, but we also heard from Dontavian Wicks for the first time. We heard from Jonathan Grenard. So I want to empty out some of the stuff that they had to say, because I thought they had some interesting things to say, and it was our first chance to talk to Dontavian Wicks. So I got a bunch of clips from him. You can kind of get a feel for what he's like. So we will get into that. I did want to start with this, because on the pod I did with James on Thursday, we talked about Joe Tryon not being at mandatory minicamp, and I said I wasn't really sure why that was. I found out it was an excused absence. He's still on the team. I can't guarantee you, like, he's a fringe roster player, so I can't guarantee you the signing of AJ Epenesa isn't bad for Joe Tryon. I expect Joe Tryon to be at training camp with the Eagles, but it was an excused absence from the team. He's not hurt or anything like that. So Joe Tryon, still on the 90-man roster, still looks like he'll be with camp, but it's a long 7 weeks. And if you're an Eagles player, you know, outside of, you know, 20 or 25 locks. And Howie's the GM. You got to always be on your heels, I feel like. He can make a trade at any point. He could sign somebody and maybe you get cut. So we will see how many roster moves happen between now and the start of camp. It actually might be a fun game to kind of put like an over-under on it. Like roster moves between now and the start of camp. The initial number that's in my head is 4.5. But maybe that's higher. I don't know. And then also if like if they cut two people at the same time, is that two or is that one? We could debate that. So maybe we'll try to think of a number and set it for the offseason. All right, let's start with this. Ironically, I'm starting with the Nick Sirianni clip. So I tried to talk about this on the pod with James. I feel like I didn't really fully get out what I wanted to say. But now that I've watched the team for five practices, I think it's pretty clear how they should try to win games this year. And Nick Sirianni was asked a question on Wednesday that was essentially like, how do you balance, you know, always prioritizing the turnover battle with knowing that maybe if you're trying new things, different passing concepts, putting the ball in places you haven't before, that it's going to lead to interceptions? And I was really encouraged by what he said. So here's Nick Sirianni on kind of that balance that he might face this year.
You've preached since you got here about the importance of winning the turnover battle and protecting the football. Do you have to loosen that at all, given that Jalen's going to be learning a new offense and there may be some sloppiness and some growing pains early on? You have to kind of tolerate maybe possibility of some more turnovers to get him to where he needs to be.
Yeah, I think, Mike, you're speaking of just interceptions, right? Because I think fumbles are a different story. Fumbles are a fundamental approach to it. And so I don't look at fumbles the exact same way as interceptions. Interceptions are happening with decision-making and, you know, as he goes through reads and stuff like that. So fumbles, never will I ever budge on that, because that's something that's the backbone of our, of what we do fundamentally. I say to the guys an awful lot that this program and everything we're built on is built off fundamentals, right? And the most important fundamental that we have is the ball, and it will be treated as so. And so we, you know, with the way we drill, with the way we to coach it, with the way they emphasize it as players, you know, we're gonna continue to pound that and make sure that we're diligent there. As far as interceptions, I think again, I don't look at it that way. Like I want, Jalen knows how important it is for us to take care of the football, and you know, and we're going to continue to preach that. That doesn't mean interceptions don't happen. Of course they do. It's a part of the game, but no, that's going to be, as long as I'm the head coach here, we're going to be very diligent about, again, winning that turnover battle and winning the explosive play battle and winning. And I know it's like, man, okay, that sounds simple, but there's an art to it, right? Because you got to be able to create explosives in different ways, and sometimes that takes, you know, puts the ball at risk, right? But at the end of the day, that ball is still the most important thing. Our focus on, and we'll know how to create explosives in that time, but taking care of the ball is the most important thing. And we'll talk about this all the time. Like can we come out of a game with every drive ending in a kick? You know, whether that's an extra point, hopefully, whether that's a field goal, or whether that's a punt. And so that's the mission of, you know, of what we, how we want to go about with our fundamentals.
So whenever I talk about the Eagles prioritizing turnovers, I feel like I need to couch it by saying, like, duh. All teams prioritize turnovers, right? There's not many coaches you would find that would go, yeah, I don't care if they throw those interceptions, right? Like, so I get it. I'm not acting like Nick is revolutionizing football by prioritizing turnovers. But what I do like about what he said is that I think the number one priority should still be being cautious with the ball and being conservative with the ball. I saw this team during the summer look like a defense that can be a top three defense in the NFL. At the very least, you know, barring injuries and just it being completely unexpected, I think they're going to be a defense that will be elite, right? And at worst, top 10, I think. I also did see some encouraging signs from the running game. Like the two plays, and I know there's no pads on, but that actually makes it more encouraging to me, that I think really stood out to me on offense really were running plays, where Chris Cooper, from standing behind the line of scrimmage, liked what he saw and said, like, boom, we hit that. Like we converted and blocked that the way we were supposed to. Excitement from the offensive line and getting that. Seeing how good Cam Jurgens feels, seeing Lane out there, like, I feel optimistic about the running game coming out of camp, not to mention Tank Bigsby, who I feel like I've brought up a ton on this pod. I think he looked unbelievable. So I feel good about Saquon, Tank Bigsby, and the running game, because I think even if Saquon's not the same guy he was in 2024, I think more Tank, and I think you will see more Tank, is going to help the running game. So I feel really good about the running game. I feel really good about the defense. And to me, when you have those two things, you don't have to be a risky passing offense. And I'm not saying they shouldn't pass the ball. Obviously, they should pass the ball. First and 10, right? Like third and eight, you're going to pass the ball. And I think they have passed the ball over the past few years, obviously. But I don't have the appetite for having Jalen try all kinds of new things, throwing the ball over the middle, like throwing it 30 times a game to prove, like, whatever, right? They don't have great receivers as of now. Maybe Dontayvion Wicks will be awesome. Maybe Mekhi Lemon will be awesome. But they don't have a star-studded receiving core right now. They have Devontae Smith, and they have a bunch of guys that they're hopeful for. They also have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts that has not thrown the ball over the middle of the field a ton. Why? Because it's the most risky place to throw the ball. There's the most bodies. Guys are coming in and out of there, right? Like, deflections happen. When you throw to the sideline and when you throw deep, those are safer throws. I think that with this defense and how I think this running game can be, now we'll see. Like, obviously, running the ball is a huge part of this. If they can't run the ball, then they're going to have to pass it. But the best formula that we have seen with this team is take care of the ball, so you're limiting other teams' possessions. You're counting on the defense to be elite. I think that's fair to count on because, by the way, the money and the assets are now more on the defensive side of the ball, right? You look at the offensive side of the ball. Yes, they're paying Jalen, but Dontayvion Wicks is a low-cost investment. Dallas Goedert's a low-cost tight end at this point. They haven't spent a high pick on the offensive line in a long time. Mekhi Lemon's a first-round pick for sure, and they paid Devontae. But on defense, they have a first-round pick at corner. They have a premium, high-paid corner in Tariq Woolen. They have a defensive line littered with first-round picks and now high contracts and maybe another one with Jalen Carter. And they have a linebacker core with one of the highest-paid linebackers in the NFL in Zach Bond. And a first-round pick in Jahad Campbell. Like, the defense should be, to a certain degree, expected to carry the team. And that's different coming from me, because I've always been an offense should carry the team guy. But if you have a defense, and this is a rarity, to have this much elite young talent, if you can control the clock on offense and take care of the ball, you're going to win a lot of games. And we've seen that with Nick Sirianni, right? We have seen with Nick and Jalen, when they win the turnover battle, they almost never lose. And I know teams that win the turnover battle win at a high percentage, but Nick and Jalen win it at a higher percentage. So I really feel watching this team, it just seems unnecessarily risky to try to go with this whole new pass game. I'm not saying that they can't, like, try new things occasionally or whatever, but I'm not going into this year being like, can Jalen throw for 4,500 yards? Can he throw for 30 touchdowns? Is he attacking the middle of the field? I'm fine with Jalen managing the game this year. And some people will say, well, then he's replaceable. Why would you pay a brand new contract to a quarterback that you're not asking to do a ton? I get that logic, but I also disagree with it. Jalen's job is extremely difficult. Being the quarterback of the Eagles, right? Taking care of the football. You could, if you spent a top three pick on a quarterback, maybe he would end up better than Jalen. If you signed Baker Mayfield or if you traded for whoever, maybe they would make more wild plays than Jalen. But I know with Jalen that they can win. And so if this year they're going to win with a running game, taking care of the ball, prioritizing taking care of the ball and being a great defense, like, I'm good with that. I think the priority should still be winning. And over the past few years, all I've heard is like a win's a win. I'm good with that. So after watching this team practice five times, and again, I know it's only five times, midway through camp, maybe I'll change my mind. I don't see them having an elite passing attack. And so they got to lean into what works, and that's taking care of the football. All right, Part of the way that they will have an elite defense is if they get big seasons out of Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith, both of whom, I think Jalix Hunt, I've been clear on how high I am on him. I think he's going to be awesome. So on Wednesday, Jonathan Grenard, who obviously the team traded for this offseason, will be the number one edge on the team this year, was asked about Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith. And I'm going to play what he had to say about both of them back to back. So this isn't one long answer, but I wanted to play what he had to say about both of them. So here is Jonathan Grenard on Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith.
What do you see in Jalix?
Jalix is like a freak of, like, he's an athlete. And I think that's the part where I seen him when we played, obviously last year, he got a pick six on us in Minnesota. Well, that was pretty crazy. But he's an athlete, and how, like, young he is and, like, where his game could really go is crazy. He's making certain pass rush moves. I'm like, man, this kid, like, he is the athletic bend that you can't really teach. It's just natural for him. He has a natural feel for the game. And I mentioned the athlete, he obviously got led the team in picks. So you see him, he had a pick yesterday. So it's just like, him doing these things, it doesn't surprise me because I've always watched him when I was in Minnesota. I always watch everybody. But he's been as advertised. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year, too, for sure.
What's been your impressions of Noel?
Oh, Noel? You know, he's a Georgia boy, so I'm a little biased. You know what I mean? That's my Georgia boys. But Nolan is great, man. I think his relentlessness and his mindset every day he comes into practice. Sometimes you think he's a 7-8-year vet like myself sometimes where we just carry on conversation. But he understands what's up. He understands the position that he's in. He understands how at the defensive end position, how we can take over games. And I think he's taking that on a chip on his shoulder. He's elevating his game bigger, stronger, faster, asking more questions. He'd be locked in. So I'm really excited. Like those two, Jalix and Nolan, I mean, their game is only going to continue to grow. And I think my job here is just continue to help them with that. You know, I'm just going to, any 2 cents I can add, I'm going to do that to make sure that they get to that point that I know they want to get to.
So it's funny. There was another part of the press conference where Grenard was basically saying, and I'm not even really paraphrasing that much, like, I think I have an elite eye for talent. I think I could be a GM. So he prides himself in player assessment. Now, these are his teammates. I'm not expecting him to, you know, go up there and go, well, actually, you know, Nolan's not great against the run. Or, you know, like, I get that. But when you hear certain things he says about, like, the athleticism that Jalix Hunt has, like the bend, the relentlessness of Nolan, I think that we, and me especially, I kind of feel like I only talk about the downside of Nolan Smith because I think the team is not super high on him and I think they would be very open to trading him. But there is still that upside. Like, if he can be the player, he's honestly not too dissimilar from Jalen Carter in some ways, right? Like, Nolan Smith was not as good as Jalen Carter in 2024, but the Nolan Smith that they got over the final 12 games or whatever it was, including the playoffs, was almost a sack a game player, right? So, like Jalen Carter, Jalen Carter was better in 2023, but Nolan's had an outstanding 2024 and then 23 and 25, like, for Nolan. Last year, probably more along bad for Nolan, and Jalen Carter has played a higher level. But I guess what I'm saying is both Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith have shown they can play at a high level, and maybe Nolan will hit that, right? Maybe the Super Bowl thing was something for him too. So we'll see about Nolan Smith. And then, of course, the way he talks about Jalix Hunt, you just got to love that. There's a reason I put that guy top five on the team. He had a pick six in practice. Like, I think he's going to have an unbelievable year. So if Jonathan Grenard can be 85% of the player he's been the past few years, and then Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith hit their potential, yeah, they're going to have a defense that you're not going to have an offense that'll score a lot of points. All right. On the other side, Dontayvion Wicks spoke for the first time since he was traded to the team. It's always good to get to know somebody. You know, I've seen him on the field. I've talked about what I've seen from him. But on the other side, we'll play some audio of things he had to say. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
The June heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is officially on the rise. Don't wait for the AC to start working overtime to realize the windows are failing. Call Window Nation now. During the June sale, buy 4 windows and get 4 free. That's right. Upgrade the entire house and get half of those windows absolutely free. Plus, get started with zero down and no payments or interest for 2 full years. The experts at Window Nation provide a weather-tight seal in just one day or less. Beat the heat and save big on those utility built. Schedule your fast, free consultation today at WindowNation.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
So, Dontavian Wicks, man, I remember I was in Cape May when they made the trade. James and Tucker were nice enough to do a emergency pod for the trade, but I remember walking down whatever that main road is called in Cape May with Kristen and saying, like, I love this trade. Like, I loved the Dontavian Wicks trade. Got to be honest. Haven't loved what I've seen from him so far in practices, but got a chance to meet him on Wednesday. And of course, the first question Dontavian Wicks was asked was about getting traded to the Eagles from the Packers. And here is what he had to say.
The trade, what was your, I guess, feeling about it when it happened?
I mean, you know, it's always different seeing, you know, trade news. But, you know, I feel like it's, you know, a different opportunity for me, and I'm looking forward to it.
So he's definitely right. Like, there is opportunity there for Dontavian Wicks. Like, whether I think he's had good practices, bad practices, whatever, he has the opportunity here to really, really make a name for himself. Now, he already signed a contract for 2027, so he doesn't have, like, a ton of financial gain here. Like, the Eagles could definitely redo his deal potentially, but the Eagles already have him under contract at a pretty good number for the team, and I think a good number for Dontavian for where he's at right now in 2027. But the opportunity that he has here is to prove he can be a top two receiver on a team. Now, he's going to have to battle with Mekhi Lemon for snaps. Obviously, Devontae's going to play a ton. But in Green Bay, it seemed pretty clear. Like, there were three guys absolutely locked in ahead of him. In Philadelphia, that's not the case. There's only one. It's only Devontae. And I think Mekhi, certainly, they want to be ahead of Dontavian, but not as much as some of the guys he had in front of him in Green Bay. So he's right. Like, when him and his agent heard he was going to Philly, they were probably excited about it. He was asked at one point about how A.J. Brown being traded impacted him and how he views things. I am sure when he got traded here, he was well aware A.J. was going to go. So I think he's right. He absolutely has some big opportunity here. And I think another reason he has some opportunity is because he has familiarity with the coaches. Like, Sean Mannion coached him last year in a loose sense. He was on the offensive staff. Mannion was the quarterback coach, and obviously Dontavian Wicks a receiver, but also Ryan Mahaffey, the team's run game coordinator / tight end coach, I believe was the wide receiver coach in Green Bay. So there's two coaches on the staff with familiarity with Dontavian Wicks. So in theory, he should have a good idea of what's happening with the offense. But here's what Wicks had to say when he was asked, are players like asking you pointers and stuff about this offense? Sounds like Wicks is learning it as well. So here's what Wicks had to say.
Having a background in this style of offense, how many questions are you fielding from your teammates right now?
I'm asking questions myself, you know, because everything ain't set. We all still learning the offense and the new ways of doing things here around Philly. I get some questions going to what I know, but we all still learning, so, you know, we are getting better.
What did you know about Devontae Smith before you came here? Now that your teammates, what have been your impressions of him both on and off the field?
You know, me and Smitty, like, he from Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana, so you know, growing up, I knew about Smitty, and you know, me and Smitty talked before I got here. So yeah, being here with him, you know, it's a great guy to look up to. Seeing what he do every day, the pro he is, you know, how he come in to work, how he come in and do everything, you know, taking care of his body. You know, that's little things that I watch and that I could pick up on with him being, you know, older guy in the room. And I'm trying to, you know, get to that point in my career. I think that this best thing for me, being behind him and watching, you know, seeing what he do and how he, you know, take on.
Going back to you and Devontae, how do you feel like your game complements his and how you guys can complement each other?
I feel like we both, you know, movements, you know, it's, I think Smitty, his route running, you know, is great, smooth, real smooth in his routes, you know, and I feel that same way about myself. We got, you know, two route runners, and that's a lot of guys on the team. I feel like we got a great group, you know, coming from Green Bay where we had a lot of talent in the room. You know, I think it's just different because it's versatile over here and everybody play off of each other, you know, and that's a big part when you got receivers that can marry up with each other and, you know, make the team better. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, smooth route running, that both play a part, you know, and coming together, I think that'd be hard on defense.
So that's a combination of two things, right, of two answers there. But I think, like, some key thoughts I had from, like, key phrases in there. He's asking questions himself. Everything isn't set. They're all still learning. And that camp will be when to answer that. And that is a common theme that I've heard from the coaches and the players being down there, is they're still in the experimental phase as well. I feel, and I'm probably included in this, we all want to define what the offense is going to be. Like, this is what it's going to look like. I don't know if they can give you a definitive answer. I think they can give you what they want it to be, which is under center, first and second down, play action, unpredictability, and then third down, obvious passing downs. Jalen will be in the shotgun, and you'll go back to a little more of what you saw last year, or you run the ball if it's an obvious running down. So I think they have that. But in terms of, like, the intricacies, the plays, like, the responsibilities, I think they're still figuring that out. So they are very, very early in this thing. Now, the flip side of that, and you can tell me if you think this is a flawed logic, is what I hear a lot is, and this is from our good buddy James, like, they're still learning the offense, so it's not supposed to look good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, maybe they're not running a lot of the new offense, right? Like, maybe they're doing a lot of the same passing concepts as they kind of work on the running game, or maybe they're running the same routes out of under center. So Jalen's familiar with the plays, but he's under center. So there is differences for sure, but I don't think they've thrown the kitchen sink at him. Like, I think they are early in this, taking it step by step, figuring it out. And I think that is the right way to go about it. So one thing I did think, or two other things I thought were cool, was hearing Dontayvion Wicks talk about his relationship with Devontae and then also with Jalen Hurts. So here is two Dontayvion Wick clips talking about Devontae.
What did you know about Devontae Smith before you came here? Now that your teammates, what have been your impressions of him both on and off the field?
You know, man, Smitty, like, he from Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana, so, you know, growing up, I knew about Smitty. And, you know, me and Smitty talked before I got here. So, yeah, being here with him, you know, it's a great guy to look up to, seeing what he do every day, the pro he is, you know, how he come in to work, how he come in and do everything, you know, taking care of his body. You know, that's little things that I watch and that I could pick up on with him being, you know, older guy in the room. And I'm trying to, you know, get to that point in my career. I think that this best thing for me, being behind him and watching, you know, seeing what he do and how he, you know, take on.
Going back to you and Devontae, how do you feel like your game complements his and how you guys can complement each other?
I feel like we both, you know, movements. You know, it's I think Smitty, his route running, you know, is great. He's smooth, real smooth in his routes. You know, and I feel that same way about myself. We got, you know, two route runners, and that's a lot of guys on the team. I feel like we got a great group. You know, coming from Green Bay, where we had a lot of talent in the room. You know, I think it's just different because it's versatile over here, and everybody play off of each other. You know, and that's a big part when you got receivers that can marry up with each other and, you know, make the team better. So yeah, I feel like, you know, smooth route running, that both play a part, you know, and coming together, I think that'd be hard on defense.
I always think it's cool when players have like heard about someone else since like seventh grade or whatever, right? Like he said, he knew about Smitty growing up. So, yeah, I think they're roughly the same age. Devontae is probably a year or two older, but you know, being from Louisiana, you know, he probably heard about this guy Devontae that's really good. And then when Devontae was awesome at Alabama, it was like, oh, that guy's from around here. So I think that's pretty cool. I also think it speaks to like the level of stardom the Eagles have on the team. I've said this about Jalen. Like, I think every player in the NFL has probably known who Jalen is for a long time just because of how high of a profile he has. And you can see that with the way Wicks talks about Devontae Smith. Now, he also brings up, like, they're both good route runners, and that's true. That is one thing people say about Dontavian, is that he is an excellent route runner. Now, catching the ball is really important, winning 50-50 balls, 50-50 passes. Like, those aren't his strength, right? But running routes is definitely one of them. Now, being down around Devontae, he can get even more kind of, you know, help on how to be good on that. So he says it'll be hard on defenses. The Eagles hope so. The Eagles hope that, you know, the route running of Devontae and Wicks will make the passing game better. So finally, Wicks talked about Jalen Hurts and his relationship with him. And he said some things in there. I think oftentimes these answers can be very generic, you know. But I thought he said some things in there that were definitely noteworthy. So here is Wicks on his chemistry with Hurts.
How have you been working with Jalen Hurts so far?
It's been fun. You know, Jay Hurts, me and Jay Hurts talk a lot since I've been here. You know, just trying to get that chemistry right, you know, with us because, you know, how big and you know, what's at stake. So it's been fun. It's been fun to, you know, do things with him, you know, getting together, even outside of here. You know, it's always good to have a relationship with your QB. You know, and he one of those guys that want to talk to us, you know, as receivers in different positions. So, you know, I love that.
So he calls him Jay Hurts, right? Already has a little nickname for him. And I think what was noteworthy is we talk a lot since I've been here, and they do things even outside of here, and it's important to have a relationship with your quarterback. I do not think Dontavian Wicks is as good as A.J. Brown, and ultimately that's what matters. But it's got to be nice for Jalen to be able to, like, just talk freely to one of his key receivers without feeling any tension. I know he only felt that with A.J. But there has to be a part of Jalen that's just excited, like, hey, I can start this relationship fresh. Like, me and Dontavian don't have history. Me and Dontavian, like, I'm not the, you know, the godfather to his kid, right? Like, there's not, like, all these high-level kind of tense things involved. And I think with being able to reinvent yourself around him is good too, right? Like, AJ has seen all versions of AJ. Dontavian is only getting to know this version. I'm sorry. AJ has seen all versions of Jalen, like the college version, the, you know, the 2022 version when he was still trying to make it, the Super Bowl MVP, all those things, right? Dontavian only knows this version of Jalen. And so Jalen could be the best version of himself around there and hopefully get the relationship off on a good note. So I thought that was encouraging. I think if you're Howie and Nick, you like to hear as well that him and Jalen are talking and seem to be in a good place. All right, that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds. It's a Friday, so go out and enjoy your day. Go tune in to WIP if you're listening to this in the morning. And if not, we got Go Birds Radio for you tomorrow, so call in on that. So until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
The June heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is officially on the rise. Don't wait for the AC to start working overtime to realize the windows are failing. Call Window Nation now. During the June sale, buy four windows and get four free. That's right. Upgrade the entire house and get half of those windows absolutely free. Plus, get started with zero down and no payments or interest for 2 full years. The experts at Window Nation provide a weather-tight seal in just one day or less. Beat the heat and save big on those utility bills. Schedule your fast, free consultation today at windownation.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.